This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From Cincinnati looking for a miracle play. He won't find it there as he is sacked. The ball comes loose.
They got it.
And Philadelphia recovers in field goal range. Elliott's kick has the distance, and this one is right down the middle and good.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's, you know, he feels bad about it, but he's just starting out, learning experience for him. The speed of this game is a little different. Going in there that first snap, you know, it's that's a tough situation to be in. So I don't, you know, it's, he'll learn from it. He'll be fine. It's preseason. You know, we try to learn as much as we can from these situations, and he'll be better for it. He's a conscientious guy. He wants to do well. He's a good dude. Really works hard. You know, one of those guys that takes responsibility for all that kind of stuff, and he'll be fine.
And we are live at the Angler by the Sea. We are in Ocean City, Maryland.
Road trip.
It's a beautiful day here, and we're here for a reason. That reason is it's the first time that we have laid eyes and spoken to one Bobby DePaul.
Man, the myth, the legend.
Since inducting him into the Inside Access Hall of Fame, he's been ducking us since that moment. But he has agreed to spend 4 hours with us today because we came to him. This is we are on his land. This is Bobby DePaul territory here at the Angler by the Sea. And Bobby D, thank you so much for spending some time with us. Usually we get you for about 15 to 20 minutes, but today we have a smorgasbord. We get 4 hours of Bobby D.
Bobby D, 16 segments. 16 segments today, not two.
And let me just say this. I have multiple points I can make for the next 4 hours. You won't lock me down anymore and keep me pigeonholed for 15 minutes
anymore. No, we can't hold you down.
But, hey, in all seriousness, I want to thank you guys for coming down 105.7, the fan people. You know, we got Chuck, Tim, Jason, and Ken coming down here and visiting us here in Ocean City. We got a lot of Ravens fans coming down here. Eventually, they will show up. And I'm going to have a feeling the ratings will go down because most of my friends that listen back are going to start showing up here. And I'm trying to think to myself, well, if they're showing up here, that means they're not listening, so that one's going to make the ratings go down.
Yes.
Okay, so I'm going to let you guys know that up front when the ratings do come up.
But, no, it's a perfect time to have Bobby with us. And we'll talk some O's, but the O's are off today. I think we all kind of know what the O's are at this point in time. The O's are going to the playoffs, and we'll see what they can do when they get in. But
yes,
we're just really starting to learn more about the Ravens. And they just played, obviously, their first preseason game. Bobby, as always, has watched all the film. He's broken everything down. And really, we haven't had a chance to talk to Bobby through the draft, through the Derrick Henry signing.
Yes.
So over the course of the next 4 hours, we're going to get Bobby's take on the state of the Ravens. Everything from can Nate Wiggins really hold up in run support to whether Josh Johnson is the best they could possibly do at backup quarterback. Bobby's done a lot of evaluating of the other teams in this division that we'll get to. So it will be a football-centric show. And frankly, we're all going to learn a lot about where the Ravens stand. But Bobby, before we get to all that, you are a decorated individual. You have put teams together that have gone to the Super Bowl. You have been Joe Gibbs' right-hand man. You played linebacker for Bobby Ross at Maryland when you guys were winning back-to-back ACC titles. Where does your entrance into the inaugural class of Inside Access Hall of Fame, where does that rank in your career accolades?
Well, let me just say this. I can remember the very first show, and people have to understand, I never did radio. I never did TV. I never did newspapers, okay, or magazines.
Yeah, you're a football
Jason,
guy.
Jason been hammering me for years to come, you know, just do something, radio.
Yeah.
And so I'm stuck on lockdown down in Key West down in back in 2020. There's no – and I remember telling Jason, I said, well, you can't play golf. There's no happy hour. The pools aren't open. I said, I got nothing else to do, so I'm going to come on. But let me just say this. I kind of had like a little phobia coming on. You know, I must have, you know, young, you know, never really was trained or anything like that. So I was a little scared. And so I come on, and I'll never forget this. The first thing Ken Wyman said before I even was introduced, he says, never heard of the guy. I'm thinking to myself, wow.
Where did he get
on air? I don't remember saying
that. He did, because I've heard about it.
He literally says, never heard of this guy. Yeah. So that's how I get introduced. Yeah. I come on.
Man.
Now you're all fit.
But I was totally motivated. Okay?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Ernie Kenny's respect.
That's what got me motivated to keep coming back on, to be with you guys. And, you know, sometimes when you, you know, you have that fear, okay, and you overcome it, that's a little bit different than when you're going out there and playing or coaching and scouting.
And Bobby,
like that.
You have absolutely earned his respect because he calls you a football savant, and that is the most accurate description that you can give to you.
Wait a second now, Ken. Wait a second. Let me just say this. There were 16 people that were voting, correct?
And no, just three.
So
16 people, I think, got votes or something like that.
16 people got votes. So Ken... So I said, well, Ken's the only one that didn't vote me number one. And all of the people.
I'm the football coach.
And I'm thinking to myself, he didn't know who I am, and it's 4 years later, and he didn't vote
he's
me number one.
He's
the only guy that didn't vote me number
one. He's trying
one.
To keep me motivated.
Yeah. You got to understand.
So I got my eye on you.
Bobby, I am like the football coach.
And I got you
coach.
Sitting right next to me down here at Ocean City, Maryland.
Put him in a headlock
for 4 hours.
I'm like your football coach. I can never let you get comfortable.
Yes.
So, like, that's what I...
He's constantly lighting that fire.
Yeah, I got to make sure the pilot's still lit.
Okay.
No, he's a linebacker.
But, I appreciate
it's always,
y'all.
It's always go time.
Yes. I appreciate y'all giving me that great honor, and, it ranks up there.
Uh-huh.
Okay? Not a Super Bowl.
No.
Okay? Not an NFC Championship. Not an ACC Championship.
Bigger than a wild card win?
You know, it's something that I do for charity, for the Walking with Anthony Foundation. So I don't get paid. I come on, and we raise a lot of money for the Walking with Anthony Foundation, and you guys are always there to support us, and we appreciate you.
Well, we appreciate,
you. Yeah.
You educate this region on football more than anybody else, period, point blank, and you are more than worthy of that Hall of Fame designation.
First ballot.
Yeah.
First ballot. They can never take that away from you.
They can't take it away from you.
By the way, this is going to be a bit of a free-flowing show because we're going to just sort of enter the mind of Bobby DePaul and get his thoughts on many different things, including the Ravens roster, the AFC North, how they did in the draft, some of the big questions about the Ravens. We only have one guest. It's Chris Tabor, who's the former special teams coach for the Carolina Panthers. He's joined
us. And the Browns.
And the Browns.
Long time. Distinguished career coaching special teams.
Because, let's face it, one of the big stories in football is this new kickoff, and we'll get his thoughts on that. But, yes, we are live at the Angler by the Sea. If you want to come down, if you're down here in OC, come on out and see us. We're going to be
gorgeous
here until 6 o'clock. By the way, amazing happy hour, 3 to 6 daily.
Yeah.
2-for-1 drinks, crushes, rail drinks, domestic cans,
wowzers,
house wines, and the Goombay Smashes, which is Bobby D's favorite.
They're going to get me back on the sauce.
Maybe. And then a ton of food specials, including a half pound of shrimp for $7.99.
Ooh.
But coming up next, we finally got to see the Ravens playing somebody else. And I think we saw that Josh Johnson was exactly who we thought he is. So is Josh Johnson on the clock? We'll discuss and we'll get Bobby D's thoughts on the backup quarterback next here on The Fan.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
thought he handled well, made some real good throws. The timing and that sort of thing, yeah, it's tough to evaluate because, you know, the guys aren't out there. It's not always going to look real great. But I thought he handled himself really well. He made some really good throws and protected the football like you want him to do and got us in the right plays, made some decisions on which plays to get us into, which is part of our offense. So that's kind of where it's at.
That's Harbs on Josh Johnson after the game Friday night, a 16-13 Eagles win. Josh Johnson, 4 for 12 for 62 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions. He did rush for 11 yards on two carries. Bobby D, you know Josh Johnson maybe even longer than the Harbaughs. Didn't you draft him in the UFL way back when? So just give us your thoughts on Josh Johnson.
We didn't draft him. We signed him and convinced him to not go in the practice squad, just come out and play for us in the UFL right there in Sacramento. So it wasn't too far. He was with the 49ers. But, it's the first preseason game for Josh. I will say this. I know there's this narrative about his age and, you know, is he up there? Absolutely. But when you watched him scramble in that red area down there, you know, for avoiding a sack and getting like a 10-yard gain, he didn't look 37 to me running. Age is just a number. I think we could talk about Joe Flacco and his age. And he was sitting on the couch last year.
Right.
Comes back and leads the Browns to the playoffs. So, look. There's a stat out there that I picked up when I was watching some of these games this past weekend. 66 quarterbacks, different quarterbacks started last year, and 68 the year before. So you're going to need three quarterbacks. There's not a lot of them out there. And you got to remember, the backup quarterback usually is a veteran quarterback, and you like that as a coach because they're not going to get reps. Lamar needs all the reps.
Right.
He's playing in the game. So the backup, who comes cold off the bench, has no reps. Right. So he comes on. He's got to play, okay? You want your third quarterback to be the young guy that you develop. You need to carry three because of all the injuries and what's happened in the last couple of years. And, you know, we're analytics people now, so those are the analytics. You got three-quarters of the league playing and starting back-to-back years now, so you need these veterans.
How hard do you think it is for them to evaluate him, and so much as they are? Because we think they're probably pretty convinced that he's the guy unless things went really poorly. But, like, they got a 6'6 kid who's never played center snapping the ball, right? You've got a guard who hasn't played NFL football ever who's coming back from a year off. Like, it's a hodgepodge up front. You've got receivers out there who, frankly, probably won't make the team. I thought at times they let him down, and I thought couple throws, like one to Tylan Wallace, he maybe bailed him out. But how do you evaluate all of that in real, like the next day? Like, how much does that other stuff factor in?
Well, I watched the tape, and I'm an evaluator. I've been doing this for, you know, what, 35 years.
Yeah.
So I watch everybody. And so when I sit there and watch Josh, I try to put myself in his position,
mm-hmm.
okay? Not that I'm biased towards him, okay? I mean, I would love, you know, a Pro Bowl backup quarterback too, you know what I mean? But you got to remember, from a 30,000-foot view, they signed Lamar Jackson to this huge contract, so they have to find places where they're saving money.
Sure.
Okay, to help manage this cap. So always keep that in mind, and you're seeing that with all the young developing players playing right now and relying on their draft. But there wasn't a lot of separation.
Mm-hmm.
I saw receivers running in the same area.
Yeah.
We've seen that before where these guys are in the same area. So it's the first preseason game. You can't, you know, expect everybody to be on the same page. These guys haven't had the pads on and going live. There's a lot of comments. Usually when I come on, it's after the third preseason game, you know. But I'm a Josh guy.
Yeah.
I mean, tell me who's on the street right now that you want.
We've had some conversation. I mean, obviously there's Tannehill, but are you going to pay
gonna
that big
much,
money?
So we get
and
that.
That's, yeah, but a name that, Jason, you were on him first was Taylor Heinicke, where you got the Falcons, they paid Kirk Cousins big money, you drafted Penix. I mean, the writing's kind of on the wall there.
They've already paid Heinicke the signing bonus, so you'd be getting him basically for a vet minimum.
It'd be a million and change base salary.
Okay, so Heinicke's on the street right now.
No,
they're
going to
trade him. I think they'll trade him.
Yeah.
That's
different.
Trade him.
Okay.
Yeah.
Listen, I had Old Dominion, okay? I did the school visit for Heinicke, okay? This is my character comment on him from my report. Just remember, because I used to tell, you know, in the scouts when they go into these meetings or the draft meetings, I would say, here's the type of kid he is, okay? He's a franchise player for them. He helped build that program, okay? He was the first guy and was always in the weight room. And I said, this is the type of guy I would let my daughter marry. I have two daughters, you know what I mean? So when I'm in the meeting and they ask me about the character, that's what I'm saying. Hey, he's the type of guy. I want this guy. I want to draft this guy so I can introduce him to my daughter. Okay. He's that type of guy. I love the kid. Okay. Would he be a guy that I'd switch out? Absolutely. I think the guy did some really good things. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was at Washington. He did some good things. He's a competitor and he's young. And there's no question that I'd be in that, you know, and I know Josh, okay? I love Josh,
right.
Okay? But, you know, Josh could still be number three, okay? You still got to talk about Devin Leary here from Kentucky, the draft choice.
Do you like him?
Big arm, right? You like the arm?
You know, he's a kid that's got he's played a lot of football, okay? He was at NC State for 4 years. I think he started 5 years in college, ended up at Kentucky last year. He's a under center guy, play action, okay, short to intermediate, you know, from what I saw in college. I did the college tape for all these guys. I like to set my own expectations when I start evaluating the Ravens, especially the Ravens players, their rookies. And, you know, he's from New Jersey, so he's got some toughness about him, okay. But, you know, one of those guys that's going to be on the move, he can play from shotgun, but it's all short to intermediate. The thing that I had a problem with was his deep ball touch, sailing balls, you know what I mean? So he's limited. Now, could he improve on that? Absolutely. But that was the only thing that I worried about. Yeah,
he's long-term developmental guy.
But he's smart, and he's had a lot of reps. You know, there's something to be said for getting a guy like this who's played a lot of college football.
So let's nail this down. Like, we obviously, the Harbaughs love Josh Johnson. They've been around him forever.
They trust him.
How hard is it? Because we say, well, you can do this, you can do that. In your mind, how hard is it for them to improve upon him at this point? Like, there's Taylor Heinicke, who we assume is going to get traded at some point. But, like, beyond that, how hard is it to improve upon Josh Johnson as we're sitting here?
Well, like I said, every case is different. Like you mentioned Heinicke. Okay, I just happen to know the guy. I knew him from college. I watched him in the pro. So it takes a name like that to get me excited.
Yeah.
You know, I have to be excited, just like they are excited about Josh. I just happen to know both of them. And I'm a Josh guy. Okay, I understand that the Ravens go with Lamar. That's their guy. So, any team that's on their backup or third-string quarterback is going to struggle. Okay, we saw it with Tyler Huntley for a couple years, right? I mean, as good as Jake Browning play, the Bengals still struggled to
win. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's hard to win with the starters. The guys that make $50 million a year struggle to win. But the Ravens are in a situation that they're getting used to now is with this. I brought it up earlier. This cap management, you know, how much they cost is going to play into the mix right now.
Okay, we got a lot we want to get to in the next segment, but let's put a bow on this. You could get Taylor Heinicke for a five, let's say, or a four.
Or a six.
I think if they eat $4 million, they're going to want more than a six. You know what I mean? Like, if they eat the whole signing bonus, we're going to trade you the existing contract. You essentially get to rent him 1 year, $1 million bucks. What do you think's fair trade compensation for him?
Like I said, I think what it comes down to is the number. Okay? And the lower the number, the higher the pick. But there's going to be other people in the mix that drive that value up, okay? They all, you know, everybody wants everything for nothing in the National Football League. If you paint a rosy scenario, I'm in.
Right.
But it doesn't usually work out that way.
Keep something else in mind. If they traded, say, a four for Heinicke, they got four comp picks coming to them next year. They're going to get, they got the max comp picks, so they do have extra picks coming to them.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I love the urgency to have the backup player, but I'm going to go back to it. This is Lamar's team, and the Ravens will only go as far as Lamar at the helm, period. So don't get carried away with the backup. Josh is functional.
Right.
He can get you out. We need to continue to evaluate Devin Leary. He just played one game, and I did a little bit of tape of him at Kentucky. You know, maybe he's a guy that could become Jake Browning. Took him a little while.
That man is Bobby DePaul.
Ultimate football guy.
He's ultimate football guy. He's an Inside Access Hall of Famer. We are live at the Angler by the Sea here in Ocean City. We'll be here until 6 o'clock. When we come back, we will get Bobby D's main takeaways from Friday night's preseason tilt between the Eagles and the Ravens. We have Bobby D all day. Angler by the Sea is where we are. Yes, we will not let him go. We've told Lisa we will release him at 6 o'clock, and we are here, right here on 105.7 The Fan. Live from the Angler by the Sea here in Ocean City, it is Happy Hour with Bobby DePaul, who joins us for the entire show today, IA Hall of Famer. Don't worry, we're getting into a little baseball as the Orioles had a three-game set with the Rays. Finished up yesterday, took 2-3. We'll get to that in a little bit. But let's take some main takeaways from the Friday night preseason game. And, Bobby D, let's start with the first-round pick, Nate Wiggins. It sounds like they dodged a bullet injury-wise. Sounds like he's only going to miss a couple weeks, should be back for the opener. But when you saw him out there, what did you see from Wiggins?
Well, like I said earlier, I do these guys in college to set my own expectations for the players coming in for the Ravens. And, you know, what we saw Friday night is exactly what he was at Clemson. I mean, I watched the South Carolina game, okay, and he knocked out two guys in back-to-back plays. Coming up, shoulder tackling, knocked two guys out of the game. Showed exactly what, you know, this is one of those situations where DeCostas and the college scouts are like, oh, thank God, he's doing exactly the way we, you know, talking about exactly, he's doing exactly what we thought he would
right.
do. Plus, I think he's kind of exceeded anybody. You know, he's late first round pick,
yeah.
so
yeah.
this guy's really exceeding expectations. We had a player in Philadelphia that ended up going to Green Bay. They actually put him in the Ring of Honor, a guy named Al Harris.
Oh, yeah.
Very similar situation, okay? Just a ball hawk. Okay, and a guy that is fearless. You know, that's what you saw Friday night. The only knock that I had on him, and I had it in my notes before the game, is that he's got height, okay, but he doesn't have that wingspan. You guys heard me talk
yes.
about the wingspan differential. That's the difference between the wingspan and the height. And you want to be like plus 4 inches. So if you're 6 foot, you're 72 inches, okay, height-wise, and if you want that wingspan to be, you know, 76 inches.
Right.
So that becomes, you subtract it from the height, you set plus 4.
And that helps your functional strength,
yeah,
that helps your leverage, that helps your wrap-up.
Jim Harbaugh is the guy that told me about this. He said, we got it from the NBA, and it gives you, it's for the open field tackle.
Right.
You yeah. know what I mean? You've got better balance when you have a wider, a greater wingspan, okay? So what do? I look at his wingspan. He's only plus 1, okay? So here's a guy, has everything you're looking for, okay? But he's got one little knock, and that shoulder tackling, I had it in my notes. I said, I'm worried about it.
Right.
I'm worried about the injuries, okay? First, I thought he just got hit in the head. Now they're saying it's a shoulder. So, you know, you don't want to jinx the guy, but that's something that he has to stop doing. You can't make a living
like
in
that.
The NFL. You're a cover corner. Look, Deion Sanders never tackled anyone.
No.
Look,
business
we need
decisions.
This guy to cover people, okay? So he's going to have to find a way to kind of just learn how to tackle by, you know, maybe, you know, just going higher.
And,
you know?
And Bobby, do that in combination with the slight frame. I mean, does that give you pause?
It does, and that's why I was saying, you know, he's got such a slight frame. He's not muscular, okay,
right.
in a sense. So he's going to absorb a lot of contact with his bones. You know what I'm saying? Like, when they started saying shoulder, I'm thinking, are you sure it's not the collarbone? You know, but love him. He made more plays Friday night than we saw Marlon Humphrey make all last year combined.
Yeah.
Okay, so
yeah.
that's the type of player we're talking about. They needed to replace Ronald Darby, who I thought played the best last year for the Ravens. And he has, okay? So they just got to, you know, keep him healthy and find another way to tackle.
One more thing on this, because a lot of people I hear say, like, business decisions, stay out of the way. But in this division, there's no secrets. These teams want to run the ball. And don't you foresee a whole bunch of screen passes to his
big
side,
receivers.
To Najee Harris? I'm not even saying, I mean, just... We're going to run sweeps. We're going to run pitch plays to his side. How's he not going to be involved? We're going to run screens to his side with our big people, our tight ends, and our running backs and our fullbacks. How's he not going to be involved?
Well, let me put it this way. In a perfect world, you'll be able to find a different way to teach him to tackle, but he's not going to do that. This kid's fearless. He's going to continue to do it. Okay, so I say, go ahead. this guy might pick it off and run it back for a touchdown. Okay, he's got a little Marcus Peters to him too, where he's just going to step in front of something. So obviously,
so if you telegraph that
as an advanced scout, you guys have had me come on how many times and say, but usually it's the guys that don't want to tackle you want to throw those plays. You know what I mean? He will tackle. So it's going to be a situation where, you know, we just got to find a way to keep him healthy, and he's got to be smart, you know, when he does that, okay? And pick, you know, if it's King Henry, I think his bones will just crush. You know what I mean? So don't do it. Just pick your spots. You know the situation, and that's where you got to get smart. You got to say, okay, know the situation. Is the game on the line? No. It's preseason. Take care of yourself out there. You got to pick your spots.
Let's get to the offensive line. There's a lot of moving parts there. We don't know what this line's going to look like come week one. We do have some, I guess, assumptions sometimes when you assume you make an ass out of you and me. What did you think about the guys on the O-line Friday night?
Let's start with Voorhees.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not in that bubble in Baltimore, so I'm just down here in Ocean City. Okay, so I don't really hear what's going on. But in his case, you know, I heard a lot of things. And one of the worst things you can do as a scout is hear what somebody says about somebody, because sometimes it's not really the case.
Yeah.
Okay? And so I know they had – look, in his situation, he hasn't played in 2 years.
Yeah.
Okay? He's coming off a knee injury. Okay, it takes time. You're seeing Ojabo deal with that right now himself. So this kid's coming back. Okay, he hasn't had the live bullets or the rush. See, usually I don't talk to you guys until after the third preseason game. It's the first preseason game. He's just getting his feet wet. But he did not have a good game, okay? And we talked about that wingspan differential.
Yeah.
He's at zero, okay? He's got nothing, okay? He doesn't have that length. He plays chest to chest. He got thrown around. Last year in preseason, they had a guy they drafted, Sala. Okay.
Yes, big A, Sala.
Sala. Okay. He struggled. You know what I'm saying? So you just got to keep that in mind. I don't think Voorhees is ready for prime time right now.
Uh-huh.
I think Ben Cleveland's probably going to end up winning that spot to start the season. But, you know, we'll see what happens. He's got to make a big jump. He's got a long ways to go. Okay. His bounce is off. He's overextending. Pass pro, he's a little wobbly, okay? So, you know, don't get too excited.
Yeah.
Just kind of temper it down a little bit. They got
play the long game.
Look,
play the long game.
They got a lot of work to do with the offensive line.
What about with the rookie, Roger Rosengarten?
Rosengarten is the reason why Michael Penix had a nice, clean pocket. You know, Pittsburgh drafted a guy high. Ravens drafted a bookend tackles at Washington watching that game. I absolutely love Roger Rosengarten. This kid will be playing, you know, he's probably going to end up being the starting right tackle based off the college tape. You know, he's not a bulky type guy.
Right.
He's athletic, but he's a combination guy. He's not great at any one thing, but he can pass pro and he can run block. So he's got a combination. He's a football player. You know, in terms of the scouts, you just say, look, this guy's just a football player. He can run block, he can pass block. He's got nasty. He can play in space. Big, you know, he's not, a mauler. He's just an athlete.
Yeah.
Okay? So you've got what you're looking for. He should be the starting right tackle for the next 8 years.
Let's quickly go to the running backs, and we're looking at a third-string running back here. Did you like anything you saw from Owen Wright or the rookie Rasheen Ali?
Well, I would say with Rasheen Ali, one thing you got to keep in mind with him, you know, when I was watching him in college, you know, there's certain things that you look for, like breaking tackles. I think he had only four, you know, on first. He can make people miss, and he can take it the distance. The problem is on first contact, he goes down.
Uh-huh.
Okay? And that's what I saw. He only had four. Okay? The other thing is he's got small hands. He's 8 5/8". With the hands, okay? He had 12 fumbles in college, okay? So when I saw that kickoff and he elbowed and the ball popped out, I'm like, here we go. There's my notes coming in. You got to remember, I do these guys before the season, preseason starts, because I want to set my own expectations. I worry about him. One of the things in the National Football League for a running back that kills these guys is pass pro, right? Blitz pickup. He's got a long ways to go there, too. Okay, he's a chicken wing type guy. Shoulder technique, didn't set a base. Okay, so you got problems there. You saw him drop a ball on the flat. So I don't want to kill the guy, okay, but he's, you know, his expectations weren't high. I mean, he's a fifth-round pick, okay, but buyer beware with him, okay? He's got a, you know, a history of fumbling. His blitz pickup's a problem. Number one reason why running backs fail is blitz pickup. You guys heard me say that the last 4 years. So there's a lot of red flags with him. Buyer beware.
Right's ahead of him for a reason.
I think he's quick. I think he recognizes the blitzes. Okay, he did cut block that ended up causing a problem. He got to stay up.
Yeah.
Okay. But he missed a blitz break off. Okay, one time, but he adjusted. I saw him do it. I think he's aware. He's quick in space. Mm-hmm. I think he's average back.
Sure.
Okay, I'm looking to upgrade. I'm looking for a back right now when I look at that roster.
All right.
We are live at the Angler by the Sea. That man is Bobby DePaul. He is the ultimate football guy. We are breaking down the Ravens and the rest of the AFC North throughout this show. We're going to let Bobby beat DJ.
Give you a little break here,
we're giving
Bobby.
You a one-segment break as we're going to touch on the Orioles next. Hit the hot corner. What did we see from them? They have a day off today. Two-game series against the Nats starting tomorrow. But we recap the weekend in St. Pete for the Orioles next here on the Fan.
It is from Fairbanks. He got it! Struck him out. A swing and a miss. Had him out in front right there. He strikes out the side. And the Rays win the final game of this series.
Good games, bad games. You know, today we scored one run. We had our opportunities to score more, make it really tough on ourselves, try to win a 1-0 game there with a few of our guys out, you know, not available out of the pen today. And but we gave ourselves a shot. Happy with the games we won, we played really well. And the games we lost, you know, we could have done a lot better things.
You heard the highlights, courtesy of Bally Sports, and then Brandon Hyde after the game talking about the up-and-down nature of the team. They had an opportunity to win that game yesterday. You do have to score more than one run. There's a lot of questions we can get into about bringing in Perez for Suarez when he's rolling, bringing in Kimbrel in the eighth inning. But, you got to score more than one run.
Yeah, I mean, look, I take a step back. I look at that whole series, and I look at it, their longest road trip of the year, 10 games. They go 5-5. They've won two of every three games they've played in the division all season long, and we're in the middle of August. That's pretty special. And they went 6-1 in the Trop, where I know this is not your dad's Rays team.
They're hanging around,
but they're still pesky, and they're still pretty good at home. And so I think when you look at it through that prism, you know, the road trip, all things considered, was okay. They're still a wildly inconsistent team. I think – we know the starting pitching's compromised. We know the bullpen's compromised. And the more I watch them play, the more, like, Gunnar and Adley have to play like MVPs. And if they play like MVPs, then to me, if you're going to tell me what's this team's superpower, the superpower could be the lineup if we're getting first half Adley and first half Gunnar, and maybe Westberg comes back. But, like, if not, when I look at everything through the October portal that I do, I have questions. Because Houston has a superpower. Seven straight ALCSs and a postseason resume. Cleveland has a superpower, the best bullpen in baseball, right? Like, the Yankees have a superpower, the best 1-2 punch, and maybe modern baseball history. Like, both these guys might hit, one might hit 60, one might hit 45. Like, that's a superpower. Like, Seattle, as messed up as they may be,
pitching.
They got the best pitching staff in baseball, and Julio Rodriguez is coming off the IL today. I don't know what the Orioles' superpower is. I think our best case for them having one in October is to have Adley and Gunnar slugging again, and Adley specifically slugging on daisy catches.
What?
Short of that, I think they're going to come up short in October, try as they might.
Well, I think that's it. I mean, their offense still lead the majors in runs scored, but it's the inconsistency of the offense, and now we're starting to see some of the guys, you know, come out of it, and Ramon had the clutch hit on Saturday for them, but this bullpen and this pitching right now, and Suarez, hats off to him yesterday.
Twice they let him down.
This back end.
He saved their ass twice, and they gave him nothing for it.
No. This back end of the bullpen is continuing to be a serious, serious issue for this club. And Grayson, I mean, he's going to be on the shelf for a month. You would like, the injuries are piling up there.
It's one of the things that frustrates me, and I'm stepping off of that for a minute. But on Saturday and Sunday, it reared its ugly head. Corbin Burnes and Craig Kimbrel, and I will say I watch a lot more Orioles baseball than I watch Major League Baseball, though I do watch a lot of other stuff. But their inability to hold base runners.
No, it's
unprofessional.
And it becomes an absolute track meet when a base runner gets on. Like, Craig Kimbrel had a no-hitter going into the fifth inning and fell apart in that inning, gave up three runs. Now, granted, Ramon boots a slow roller that he should have played, and they call a pitch out. Your catcher's got to throw a guy out in the pitch out. He throws the ball into
center field. The
so they gave him five outs. But, like, the inability with him and Kimbrel to not even try to hold runners on is just maddening to me as I watch this.
Corbin Burns is going to obliterate the Orioles franchise record by a starting pitcher in terms of stolen bases.
Yes.
He's three behind the lead, I believe.
Yeah. Look, here's where I am on Kimbrel. I don't think Craig Kimbrel's on the postseason.
We're going to be talking about it on the show tomorrow. Yeah. I don't think so.
I don't think he is too much of a liability. The velo's only going to tick down. He can't throw strikes. He doesn't trust his secondary stuff. He's too far gone to hurry himself up or adapt to these new rules with the pitch clock. You can time him up super easy. Like, he's going to put people on, and they're going to steal on him. And guess what? Adley's not a plus arm. Adley's not very good throwing runners out.
Not.
That's the reality. Adley's the best blocker in baseball. He cannot frame. Please give us that ADS, whatever the hell it's called. Give us the computerized stuff, so that'll save us from that. And people are going to take second and third with reckless abandon. Like, Houston's athletic, Cleveland's athletic. Like, sorry, Craig Kimbrel, I don't see him.
Nah, he's not on the roster.
I don't see it happening. He's too much of a liability.
There's no role for him.
But that's the issue where we were talking about this last week in terms of Hyde being compromised with the pen. I mean, you got him and you have Soto. Where, how are you handling both of them at the same time when you don't want to use them in high leverage situations?
Well, you're hoping the righty is Webb and the lefty's Colomb. I mean, that's it. Or they need to have some balls and let some of these Nafa guys who maybe don't have, like, the sexiest resume but have gotten people out down there who do get swing and miss, whether it's Luis Gonzalez or, like, whatever. Like, you might need to take a look-see. Like, Brandon Young out of the pen? I don't know, but you might need to take a look-see.
They mentioned him.
Elias.
They mentioned him as a starter. I'm talking about out of the pen.
Now, I was just surprised his name got mentioned when he's talking about, like, options.
He's got K-rate.
Yeah. We are live at the Angler by the Sea. Bobby DePaul, Ultimate Football Guy, is with us. He will be back joining us next. We don't let him.
We can't give him too long.
We give him baseball segments off so he can have something to eat and mingle with his people. But when we come back here on the program, we will be talking more with Bobby DePaul. We'll get his thoughts on Ravens and heavy personnel. Could we be seeing a lot of heavy personnel with the Ravens this season? We discuss next here on The Fan.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.